Sometimes our everyday life poses a dilemma we just can't solve on our own. And if you listen to this show, you may think about writing to Randy Cohen, who writes the Ethicist column in the New York Times Magazine. He joins us every other week, and this is one of them. Welcome, Randy. We have a particularly provocative letter this week about language.
Well, I'll try to keep my temper, no matter how you try to provoke me.
Okay. Well, the letter comes from Laura Meggs. She's a third grade teacher in rural Mississippi, and this is what she writes. My class is composed entirely of African American children. Even though I was born, raised, and educated in Mississippi, this rural area came as a culture shock to me. Their vernacular is consistently grammatically incorrect among the children, their peers, and the vast majority of the adults. It is not uncommon for a child to answer to nicknames such as Titi or Wee Wee, and racial slurs are thrown about in casual conversation. Initially, the atrocious grammar and racial slurs were such a shock that I simply ignored the problem. Now that I am more confident as a teacher and caregiver to my kids, I correct their grammar every single time they make a mistake, and they all know better than to even try to say pimp, the N-word, or ho. I consider this a duty as an educator to teach my students to speak correctly in public spaces and when addressing all adults. However, I have had a few complaints that I am attempting to change their culture and vernacular. What is the ethical thing to do? Allow the students to maintain speaking incorrectly because that is their culture? Or should I continue correcting their grammar and teaching them skills that will enable them to hopefully break free of the constricting culture they are part of? Well, Randy, we have a situation here where what's acceptable at home or in the neighborhood may not be so in the classroom. So what's your advice?
Well, I think you've hit on the essence of the question, that it depends on the setting, what language is appropriate. We all use standard English in some settings and the vernacular in others. You know, if I weren't on NPR right now, I'd be cursing like a sailor. So I think a teacher has these two obligations here. One is to teach the students standard English and to demand that they use it in school, but also to treat all the students with respect and not denigrate their use of slang when they're away from school.
Mm-hmm. We have Laura Meggs on the line now. What do you think of Randy's advice?
It's pretty much exactly what I think. It's just that some of the things they say sometimes are so shocking to me that I feel like they should never be acceptable, and they are. They're acceptable at home with their parents. They're acceptable with their friends. You know, it's the rap culture, and some things just are very shocking.
I feel the same way every time I hear a kid play a Britney Spears record. You know, there's a great deal in the culture that I think is dreadful, but it's not my place as a teacher, which, by the way, I'm not, to go to their houses and tell them what kind of records they should listen to or what kind of slang they should use. That, I think, is beyond your purview. But what you can do, and in the prime of Miss Jean Brody, Goodbye, Mr. Chips way, is be quite ferocious and quite demanding about how they speak and how they behave at school. That's a setting where standard English and conventional manners are clearly called for. And I think that's really your duty to teach it to them. And it sounds like it's a duty you bear with real pleasure.
Very much so. I'm trying to, you know, help these children make it where they can be something and do something with their lives. And I know that you're prejudged, sometimes unfairly, sometimes not, on the way that you speak. And I want them to be able to present themselves in the best way that they possibly can.
It sounds terrific and inspiring. It sounds like you're doing just the right thing. And so I feel slightly guilty, but I want to raise one tiny quibble. You refer to the culture that constricts them. And I think that's true. But that's not the only thing, or I think even the main thing, that's constricting these kids. It's racism.
Well, this is a thorny situation, I think, especially when race is a part of the discussion as well, and how you react to people who are raised a certain way or speak a certain way. So what kind of response have you gotten from the children and the people in the neighborhood?
With the kids, it's good. At the beginning of the school year, you know, it would take 10 minutes to get one sentence out from a student. But now their grammar has drastically improved, and it's encouraging to me to see the changes I've made.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
And if you have a question for the ethicist, drop us a line at watc@npr.org. Put the word ethics in the subject line, and please give us a phone number where you can be reached. Randy, thank you so much for joining us.
Really a pleasure.